What you need now is just to have in your spirit a nevertheless attitude, and you can probably get what you want to get. You know, the studying days are over. You don't need any more information. It's a day for action. You know, if I go to the bank and get that loan, if I step out and get that job, if I decide to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to do that, you've got to move into the action phase. This is what makes the difference between ordinary and extraordinary. Nevertheless, person.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. Today, we welcome back Brother Chris Airy as he delivered his sermon titled, Having a Nevertheless Attitude. We hope his sermon will inspire you to become a Christian who takes action and shares the saving message of Jesus Christ. Please join us again next week for another great sermon.
I stayed up all night last night trying to come up. If it wasn't for Jesse helping me out this morning, this would have never happened. So I just hope I can keep up with myself on this clicker thing. But it's really glad to be here with you guys today. Thank you again. It's a privilege just to fill in and stand behind the pulpit. We have some really good stuff for you today. You know, too often we see people and when they get saved, you know, they get on fire for God, and then they just kind of fizzle out, you know, and we call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. You know, they get on fire, and they bubble up and all that, and then they just kind of die out. And a lot of times we see that. I want to give you some principles today that I think will help keep your fire burning, okay? When everybody around you, when their fire goes out, there's some ways to be able to keep yours burning. And in the Bible, David was a man on fire, okay? He was on fire for God on a regular basis. And this passage that we're going to look at is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And this is my hope today, that we can learn some things that will show us how to stay on fire, okay? And one of the ways we're going to be able to do that is with the right attitude, okay? Having a right attitude. It's what I call a nevertheless attitude. And if you took that word, nevertheless, and you focus just on the first part, this the first word, never, nevertheless in your circumstances, nevertheless above problems. David, he had a nevertheless attitude, and his attitude wasn't low. It was at an all-time high, okay? And David got places because of his faith in God and because his attitude refused to ever waver. Now, here in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 5, I'm going to set it up for you real quickly and tell you what it was like, and then we'll read it. The city primarily known as Jerusalem, as we know today, back then in that time, was primarily known as a city called Jebu. The reason why was because it was dominated and inhabited by the Jebusites. Now, the Jebusites were kind of like the Mike Tyson of their day. That, you know, when Mike Tyson, he appeared to be invincible. Nobody could stop this guy. The Jebusites were like that. They had never lost a war. I mean, they owned the city, what we know as Jerusalem. And here's how it was, if you know anything about Jerusalem. It's got these valleys all around it, and no army could overtake them. And they had these valleys, and when the armies would try to come in there and surround them, they found themselves surrounded by valleys, and the armies would get stuck in the valleys and give plenty of time for those up on the hill to attack their enemy. And when you're on a hill above your enemy, you always have the fighting advantage in combat. So nobody could ever take them over. And then the problem was, Nobody ever tried to touch it. Because after several years, they just kind of settled in their belief. That they just thought, man, this place is invincible. Nobody can touch it. But now, David, he does the most unusual thing. God's hand is on David's life, okay? And people begin to realize that this young man, while Saul has got the position on the throne called the king, David is the man with the power, okay? He's the one that can deliver the goods. And David is the guy with God's hand on his life. And there's a fire burning in his soul. And he has a passion and purpose for his life. And David is the guy, wherever he goes, it seems like God goes with him. And so the people, they're starting to see this, that Saul had the position, but David had the power. All right? Now, hearts were slowly turning to David. So the day came that when the 12 tribes, who had not been together in a long time because they were a divided family, they all come together and said, David, we want you to lead us, okay? We recognize that God's hand's on your life, and we're smart enough to get underneath the anointing and underneath the authority, and so they did that. And then David, he starts thinking, now that I've inherited all 12 tribes, which haven't been together in a long, long time, now I'm gonna need a bigger kingdom for everybody. I can't stay right here in Hebron. I got to move now from a 12,000 square mile city now to a 60,000 square mile city. So he decides to take a relocation project into his hands. He goes, we're going to Jerusalem, the Jebusites country. And the Jebusites heard word of it, and they laughed at David. Now, this is going to be a bigger battle than David and Goliath. It's not often preached, but it is one of those big battles. The Jebusites, they look at David and laughed, and they mocked him and said, you can't come up here, David. I mean, they just basically said, you may have killed Goliath, and you may have done some other things, but the fact is, we're bad to the bone, okay? And nobody has ever taken us over. No one has ever been foolish enough in all these many years to even try to attack us. And they said this, in fact, the blind and the lame will turn you away. And they even started marching the blind and the lame around the wall of the city the day that David became thinking that he was going to do that. But the Bible tells us, though, that David went in and took the city. And let me show you that passage right now. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, then all tribes, that's all 12, of Israel come to David and said, at Hebron and said, indeed, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with him at Hebron before the Lord. And then they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. And I just turned 40, Wow, he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, you shall not come in here, but the blind and lame will repel you, thinking that David cannot come in here. Now, verse 7 is the key word here. Everything spins on the first word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is That's the city of David. Now David said on that day, whoever climbs up by the way of the water shaft and defeats the Jebusites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by David, or that they hate David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they say, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. King James is a little different here. What this really means, since the blind and the lame marched around the city, David said this, I'll make anybody chief, who when they see the blind and the lame, you just go ahead and kill them too because they mocked us. David really didn't play. He didn't play. Then in verse 9, it says, then David dwelt in the stronghold. That is, he lived in the city. And he called it the City of David. He changed the name to the City of David. And then it says that David built all around from Milo inward. Milo inward. So David went on to become great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. So David at this point, he doesn't only take war over the city, but David remains in the city. And today we call that Jerusalem, or the city of Zion, or the city of David. But that one little phrase turned it all. Nevertheless, David took the city. You shall not come in. The blind and the lame will turn you away. Nevertheless, David took the city. David was a nevertheless kind of person, okay? And I want to show you today how you and I can be the same. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary. The other day, I was kind of jotting it down, taking some notes, and I had to stop and think, okay, now how is it I spell extraordinary? I thought, oh, all I got to do is add extra to ordinary. Well, the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra, okay? It's the extra. If you want to be extraordinary, you've got to put in that little extra. You want to go the second mile. You want to do something more, okay? And I don't want to get off on this very long, but your church, the church people here, you're in a wonderful setting right now. And you've got a lot of mixed feelings going on, you know. You've got a lot of things coming up. You need to be at that meeting tonight. If you want to see Calhoun Baptist go the second mile, okay, and you need to show up at that meeting and get on that pastor's committee, search committee, and work together and maybe, you know, get on Sunday school staff and do that and share your gifts. And some of you that can't do that, maybe this will be a time for you to start tithing more regularly. You know, and maybe some of you just become a prayer warrior and just constantly pray for the church and the members in it, okay? Because that's how a church works together, and that's when God blesses. Because I promise you, I hope you all have a vision, because I can see it. You've got some good things that can happen right now in this transition. So I just want you to try to keep your heads up and keep focused on God. It's going to be up to you guys. But you got to come and members, get in, be a family, and work together. Make it happen. Because the people, okay, that makes the difference, who move from ordinary to extraordinary, are the people that make a little extra effort. Okay? That's when it's going to happen. Now, you never want to quit, no matter what. No matter what, you don't want to quit. You need to get an attitude. It's a nevertheless attitude that says, I'm going to do whatever it's going to take to achieve. Okay? And when you do that, when you just start to get that attitude, man, God's like, whew, come here, angels. Look, come here and look at this. This is what I've been waiting for. Okay? And he's getting ready to bless you. So just remember that. Many times in our life, though, we've been so content just to coast. But let me remind you about something. Every time you coast, you're going downhill. Because you can only coast one way, and it's down. You know that, right? So if you want to be extraordinary and lift up them people around you in your life, you're going to have to get to the place and say, I'm going to put in that little extra effort so I can see and find this little bit of difference turn into a big difference. David's going to demonstrate that for us. And I'm just going to give you a couple ways that he did. Let me just give you three real quickly. Number one is this. I want you to notice the testimony of his leadership. And I say this because the people come to him. They say, we're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. We saw the way that God's blessed you. What happens is David is being anointed now for the third time. He was anointed once in a private setting. He was anointed another time in another setting. But now he's being anointed by the third time by the people. And this is the difference. The people is anointing him. That is that God's already anointed David, but now the people recognize him. Because David has now established their trust. Because people won't follow you unless they trust you. I mean, you understand that. You don't go buy from someone you don't trust. You don't believe people you don't trust. I mean, you don't even listen to people you don't trust. If you don't trust somebody, it doesn't matter what they say. You just don't connect. David now has spent 40 years, and they now realize, hey, this old boy, he's the real deal. And so they come to David. David doesn't come and say, will you follow me? They come to him and say, we want you, David, to be our leader. We've seen you through all those settings and all them circumstances you've been through. David, we want you. We're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. So, and this is for all the leaders in here, the testimony of your leadership is very important. And here it is. I'll put it on the screen for you. You don't got to go out and tell people what you think they need to do and fix and tell them to come follow you. You don't do it that way. The best way to do it is just go out and build genuine relationships with people, okay? You'll be amazed what people will do for a relationship. And that was David's testimony, and the people saw that. Now in verse 4, notice the time of his leadership was 40 years. He reigned 40 years. Because David wasn't just the kind of guy who just had a good year. I mean, now and then we see people, you know, and they might have had some good sales or they had a good batting average. And we kind of want them to be the star. And all of a sudden they come up with a new book they wrote or something. And that's good. That's good. They're on fire for a moment. But David, for 40 years, continued to set the bar high, and he reached it. He reached it. There was something about the time of his leadership that just tells you, here's a guy who can deliver the goods on a regular basis. Then in verse 6, there is going to be the test of the leadership. And I'm going to tell you this. You guys are being tested right now. Every level you want to move to, you're going to be tested. Because at different levels, you'll meet different devils. All right? And you will. And there's always a different test for the next level. If you can pass your challenges now, that's good. But I'm going to tell you, at the next level, you're going to get a new challenge. Okay? Well, the fact is, David's going to be tested now. He's been tested now on how to move the kingdom to Hebron over this new to this new area, Jerusalem. He's like, how can I take over Jerusalem when it's inhabited by people who've never been destroyed? And those people are going to mock him with the blind and the lame and make fun of him and pretty much just run his name in the dirt. He's getting tested here, but here's the good news. David, he didn't flinch, okay? He never wavered. He didn't take his eyes off the target. He set his eyes on the target, and he went and he conquered, okay? He didn't try to back up. He didn't have to go get a committee. to give him encouragement, David basically just said, that's what God put on my heart, and here's what we're going to do. And he set out and he did it. Now here's the key. If I'm going to develop a nevertheless attitude, if I want to live like a nevertheless person, many of you out here today have got the dream, okay? You probably got the plan. What you need now is just to have in your spirit a nevertheless attitude, and you can probably get what you want to get, you know? The studying days are over. You don't need any more information. It's a day for action. You know, if I go to the bank and get that loan, or if I step out and get that job, if I decide to follow Jesus Christ, if you want to do that, you've got to move into the action phase. And this is what makes the difference between ordinary and extraordinary, the nevertheless person. And here's some simple keys about it. Here's the way that you can do it, okay? Not everybody will. I wish everybody here today in this room would jump up and say, you know, I'm going to do that. But somebody in this room, perhaps your life may change today. Today may be the day, you know, that you just say, I've had enough information. I'm stepping out. And when you do, your income level is going to go up. You're going to attract a better quality of friends. And you're going to find yourself with a whole lot more a year from now than you ever had. It's your day to say, I want to develop this. I think some of you know what I'm talking about. These are simple, okay? But they stand out in David's life. Let me tell you what they are. Here's how you become a nevertheless person. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to get caught up with you guys on this clicker. Forgive me. This is how you do it. You draw, and this is a big one. You draw the loyalty of others by demonstrating it to the authorities in your life. When David started off in verse 1, it says, they come to him and said, we're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. They were saying, David, we're willing to go to bat for you. We're willing to die for you. David, we're willing to stand with you. We're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. That's what they're saying. Now, you don't get people willing to do that with you unless they've seen something in you that makes them say, I can trust that person. And let me tell you what David did. If you turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14. Teenagers and kids, listen up. I want you to... I believe that God always puts in people's lives certain authorities. Teenagers, your authority is your parents or your grandparents. Okay? That's your authority. Moms, your authority is your husband. Dad, your authority may be your boss in the secular world. It may be your pastor in the spiritual world. But every person is under authority. And by nature, we want to be rebellious. We want to be rebellious, self-serving, self-centered, independent. We think we can take care of ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, I have never seen a person who lived out against authority who has not had chaos in their life. I have seen people who have lived under authority, though, and when you respect it, God blesses you for it. God protects you for it. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that your authority is always smarter. Okay? I'll put it this way. I have seen where some of our presidents have made some bad decisions, reckless decisions. And myself, and I haven't always been this way. This is something kind of new for me, okay? Because I never understood the importance of it. But I have to be careful that I don't talk down about that person. And I got to hold my tongue when I'm around other people that are being derogatory towards them. Why? Because of the office. That's first. And the Bible makes that real clear. And when we can learn that in the spiritual world, it'll open up heaven for you. It opens up blessings for you. But if we think that we're smarter than, or we try to react to authority, we literally put a lid on our life. It stops us dead in our tracks and many times puts us in reverse. Here's a couple things to help me explain myself. Saul. Saul was the king. Now, Saul tried to kill David. Saul hated David, and he tried to turn people against David, and he felt threatened by David. But notice David's reaction to Saul. One time there was a man who claimed to have killed Saul when Saul died on the battlefield. And he come up to David bragging, thinking David would be pleased with this man's actions. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "So David said to him, 'How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?' So David says to this man, 'Was there no fear of God in your heart that you would take it upon yourself to touch the one that God called to be the king?'" Now I want you all to think about this, okay? If your worst enemy, who had been hounding you, hurting you, coming after you, was a person of authority, and then one day they were just kind of laid in your lap, okay? And you had a chance of a lifetime to put some hurt on them. And everybody around you is urging you to do so. What would you do? What would you do? Here's the deal. David has been chased all over the countryside by Saul. Saul has got armies out to kill him. And David's hiding in a cave. And of all things, Saul's marching with his army, and Saul has to go to the bathroom. I mean, the Bible's real. It tells you about the formality of people. So Saul's got to go to the bathroom. So he tells this man, "Guys, you stay here, and you stay here outside the cave. I'm going to go in here and relieve myself." That's what the Bible says. Saul goes in to relieve himself, and when he goes in there, it's dark. He takes off his robe, you know, and he lays it down. And David is right there in the dark, 5 feet from him, okay? So Saul's sitting there going to the bathroom, and David's men are with him. I mean, they're saying, David, "God's delivered him into your hands today. Take your sword and kill him, and you'll be the new king. David, you've already been anointed to be king. Walk outside this cave and show his men his head and take the throne for yourself." Now, he could have done that in the flesh. And David, he did fall just a little bit, okay? Because he took his sword and he cut off a piece of Saul's robe. And when Saul was finished, you know, he put his robe on, he walked outside the cave, and he was fine. He was going to regather with his men and go hunt for David. And David walks out and says, "Saul," and he holds up a piece of his robe. And he said, "You see this? I've done torn your shirt tail. I've got the end of your robe right here." And Saul looks at that, and he looks at his robe, and he just kind of freaks out. And then David says this, "You would have been an easy target for me to kill." And David even felt bad for tearing up the man's robe. He apologized for that. He said, the Lord laid you in my hand. Then he says this right here. And this is a powerful verse again. 1 Samuel 24, verse 10. He looks at Saul eye to eye and he says, look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in this cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Let me show you another verse. And teenagers, I'm telling you, if you want your life to be blessed, I want you to understand this verse, okay? It's Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 1. To get the heavens opened up in your life, understand this. It'll help you, I promise. It says this, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. Okay? And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Then verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority, the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment onto themselves. What he's saying is this. God says, I see the big picture. I see things in your lives that need to be worked out. So what I do is, I put authority into your life to chisel off all those attitudes and those things in your life I don't like. And the picture is of a man one time. He took a big old rock and he sculpted it out and he made a beautiful horse. Someone come up to him and they said, how'd you get such a beautiful horse out of that old rock in the window? He said, well, here's what I did. I took a hammer, and I took a chisel, and I knocked off everything that didn't look like a horse. God is taking the hammer of your authority and the chisel of the pressure they put in your life, and he's knocking off everything in your life that doesn't make you the very, very best. And you may not like it. I never have. You may not like it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're through, you're going to be a different person. David was loyal to Saul. Even though Saul wasn't always right, David was never so proud to think that God wasn't smart enough to put Saul in the right place at the right time. So David never went against that. And God later elevated David for it. Kids, I want to tell you, listen to your parents. Okay? Listen to your parents. Wives, listen to your husbands. And husbands, listen to your pastor. And respect your boss. Okay? You don't have to agree with every decision he makes. But if he's your boss, if his name is on your check, I mean, talk about him all you want if you're not getting the check, and I don't even know if that's Christian, but don't take the check and talk about him, okay? And that's that thing about authority, and it's key. It's key, I promise you, it's key. A famous theologian once said this, a major reason the church or the Christian doesn't prevail is because of the rebellion to authority. I've seen it. I've seen it. And it's sad. The secret to victory is in respect for God and His delegated authority. If I'm going to be a nevertheless person, I got to learn that one. Now here's two. Here's the next one. Believe God for the difficult challenges. Jerusalem had never been conquered. I mean, they settled in believing that it couldn't be. But David took them over there and he did it. And the Bible says that nevertheless, David took the city. And when you can get that first one about authority lined up, all the others will be a lot easier, okay? Because the internal choices are always harder than the external. The emotional choices are always harder than the others. You'll waver a lot. You'll go back and forth over emotional choices. But decisions that don't have emotions tied to them, they're a lot easier to make. So if you get number one down about authority, the other challenges is just going to be a minor issue, okay? It's hard. But we have to do this if we're going to move from where we are. You have to do this if you want to move from where you are. Because if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always be where you've always been. So you got to say, how can I make it better? Well, I got to do a little something different that gets me there. And when you walk by faith, you'll see God's work become possible, and you'll see it become a reality. I guarantee you. Number three is this. Follow God with resentless determination. When it says, nevertheless, David took, that is, if you know what you want to do, and here's the key I think a lot of people get stuck on. When you ask somebody, what is it they want? Some people don't know exactly what they want, okay? You have to have a clear picture of what you want, okay? You have to figure it out, what you want, okay? And once you figure it out, you can do it. You can do it. You can't live your life with somebody else's vision. You understand that? If somebody else gives you their vision and tells you what you ought to do, but it's not in your heart, I mean, you may start doing it, but you'll never finish, okay? You'll never finish it. You'll only be energized and never quit when it's your vision. Okay? So you have to figure out what that is in your life. And when you figure it out, then you'll become a determined person and nothing stops you. And anything that gets in the way of what you're after then becomes your enemy. So you have to say, I'm going to make a choice what's good and best for me. And while that might be a good thing for you, what's best for me is this. So this is where I'm going. The last one is this. Trust God to establish you when you've done the first three. If you do the first three, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts was with David. It says in verse 10 and 12. That is when David set out to do it, God took care of it. Okay? God took care of it. And my belief is this. If you'll just go wide open and decide God's heading me in that direction, and you give it all you got, if God tells you to run through that wall, okay? It's your job to gear up with everything you got and take off running for that wall. And it's God's job to make a hole for you when you get there. Okay? And my word to you today is to be a nevertheless person. Because I believe 90% of you now in this room already have a dream in your heart. Okay? You already know what you love to do. You already know it in your heart. You just need now courage to believe that there's a God who put that dream in your heart and can make it happen. My word to you today is it's time to get out of the study phase. And it's time to get into the action phase. It's time to say, I'm going to do it. And from this moment on, I'm going to be a nevertheless person who has a nevertheless attitude that goes after what God puts in my heart, okay? I'm going to go with it with everything I got. And I'm going to let God establish it for me when I do it. You guys are on just, there's so many possibilities for this church. And you've got to have a vision, because like the old Proverbs verse says, where there's no vision, the people perish. It wasn't very hard to walk in here and see a vision. And I know we got leaders coming up. And there's a lot of leaders in this congregation. And it's time for the older generation, you know, to help out when they can. And this younger generation, I think that's neat to have this young song leader stepping up to the plate. And somebody else did a bulletin, haven't got to see it. That's exciting. That's exciting. We need to be encouraging them, okay? So they don't fizzle out. They're active successful, so their fire will keep burning, okay? Show your appreciation, because we're supposed to be a family, okay? We're supposed to forgive and love. And I don't know why it's so hard. It's harder to do that in church than it is with your neighbor that don't come to church. Because we always hold everybody on this high pedestal. And there's nobody on no high pedestal. We're all the same. We all need love and we need encouragement. And people, when they walk in a church, they can feel that. And people want to come where they feel loved. If anything, I want to encourage you for Calhoun Baptist Church to be known is a people that love people. I'm telling you, that's the start. And that authority, thing about authority, if you can get that one down, I'm sure a lot of you older folks already have it. I'm just a hard-headed, slow learner. But when I learned that, I wish I would have learned it at a younger age. That's the secret. That's the secret. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father God, I just thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for Calhoun Baptist Church. I thank you for this community. Lord, I thank you, Father, for that this church can be doing in the community. They can be known for this church. And Lord, I pray this church has a good reputation of love and people can come here and not afraid to stop in. And they feel welcome. Father, I pray for the leadership coming up in this church. Lord, I pray for the meeting tonight. Lord, I pray your spirit will be there. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will work on everybody's heart. Because it's a time for action. Because this church is at a level that you want to bless tremendously. But he ain't going to give it to you unless you want it. And to show God you want it, you've got to take some action. Lord, I pray good things will happen tonight. I pray that they'll get a good pastor search committee going, and they'll get the Sunday school offices lined out. And Lord, I just pray you'll just give everybody wisdom, and you'll just put on everybody's heart, Lord, things they want to do. And if God does that for you, step up. No matter what your age is, young or old, because you wasn't here on accident. You're here for a reason. God loves you and he wants to bless you. And if you're in this church today and you want to be a part of all this, you know, and you're saying in your heart, you know, I want to know Jesus. And I've tried to know him, but I just didn't seem like I can connect there. It's real easy. Just really mean these words in your heart and just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've broken your commandments. I try to live right and I can't. I want to live a better life, Lord. I want to live that better life that I hear about. I want to go to heaven when I die. I believe that you came to this earth and died on the cross for my sins and rose again. Will you please take me to heaven when I die? If you said those words in your heart and you really meant those words, I'd like for you to come up to me after service and share that with me. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's sermon. Our prayer is that if you were touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you pray this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.